Good morning. It's a pleasure to be here this morning to worship with you and to expound God's Word. And so I would invite you to turn to our passage there in John chapter 13. There in John chapter 13, beginning in verse 1. Hear now the word of the living God. Now before the feast of Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from this world to be with the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. Supper being ended, the devil, having already put it in the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hand, and that he had come from God and was going to God, rose from supper and laid aside his garments, took a towel, and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. Then he came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, "Lord, are you washing my feet?" And Jesus answered and said to him, "What I am doing you do not understand now, but you will know after this." Peter said to him, "You shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you have no part with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not only my feet, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "He who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not all of you." For he knew who would betray him, therefore he said, "You are not all clean." So when he had washed their feet, taken his garments, and sat down again, he said to them, "Do you not know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, 'Well, for so I am.' If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I've given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them." And this is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Almighty and ever-living God, we come before your presence this morning and thank you that you have spoken to us through your word, that you have given to us all things that we need to know for this life and for the life to come. Lord, as we glean the lesson from this passage, we ask that you would open our ears and our hearts that we might hear your word of truth and apply your word to each and every one of us. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. There is a prevalent practice within some denominations, particularly Free Will Baptist and certain types of brethren groups, where they regularly practice what is called foot washing. I remember many years ago, when I was still single and pastoring a small church in Arkansas. It was not a Reformed church. I was not Reformed at the time. But our congregation was invited to a ministerial alliance group. And so we went to the local Free Will Baptist Church and participated in a foot washing service. And it was quite humorous because one of the members was sitting next to me. I believe her name was Kate. And we were sitting there, and they gave us instruction, and they began to begin the foot washing service. And she looked at me, and she says, "You're not going to wash my feet, are you, Pastor?" And I said, "No, Peter, I won't wash your feet." And we had a joke about it, because this was completely new to me. And in many of those traditions, they practice it regularly, believing that this is a command of the Lord Jesus, just like baptism and the Lord's Supper. But as we look at this passage from the Gospel of John is so full of instruction, and it's so rich, because at the end of the account in John's Gospel, where Jesus has revealed Himself to the nation, Jesus revealed Himself to the crowd as the bread of life, as the living water, as the light of the world. He now gathers His disciples in this last half of John's Gospel. He draws them to Himself. And as He begins to draw His disciples to Himself, in this very act of humility, Jesus demonstrates to His disciples and demonstrates to us the idea of servanthood. And so as we look to this passage this morning, let us see, how does Jesus demonstrate to us servanthood? What does that look like for us as disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, the first thing that Jesus demonstrates and shows us about servanthood is He does this by showing His love for His own. There in verses 1 and 2, they were about to begin the feast of Passover. Jesus was there in the upper room beginning to administer the Last Supper. And so the hour had come. As John describes there in verse 1, Jesus said that He knew that His hour had come when He would depart from the world and returned to the Father. Now at the very end of verse 1, it says, "Having loved His own who were in the world, He loved them to the end." Jesus shows the depth of His love to His disciples in that final week. He shows that He loved them as His own, and that He would love them to the end. He has already shown that in John's Gospel, that Jesus draws His disciples to Himself. That Jesus draws them to Himself, and that they are in union with Him and with one another. And in this act of humility, Jesus shows that we, as His disciples, and He is our Lord and Master, that we are in union with one another. And so He begins to show them further His love for them, His love to the very end. And Jesus here has already shown to an extent the depth of His love for His disciples. But He will further demonstrate that love in this act of humiliation, but more importantly, later in His suffering and His death. And so as that hour of His departure is arriving, Jesus shows further His love for His disciples, and He shows His love to us as well. J.C. Ryle says that Christ's love for the saints is the very essence of the gospel. You cannot understand the essence of the gospel until you understand the depth of Christ's love for you and for me. The depth of His love for us is what motivates us to love Him and to love one another. And so having loved His own even to the end, Jesus shows His love and His patience toward us. Perhaps we don't often see that in this passage, but by Jesus showing His love, He shows also His patience toward us, His tenderness, His compassion, His kindness. And here in this passage, most translations there in verse 2 state that when supper had ended or when supper was finished, indicating, as most scholars believe, that they had not yet partaken of that final meal together, as it will indicate later in the passage, particularly in verse 26. So before the Passover meal, which was common, Jesus would wash their feet. And so as we see Jesus showing the depth of His love in this act of humiliation, He shows that as our Savior and as our Redeemer, He indicates by this act of humiliation His love for us. But there's a second way that Jesus demonstrates His servanthood, not only by showing us His love, but by demonstrating His humility. There in verses 3 through 5, John says that Jesus knew that the Father had given all things into His hand, and that He had come from the Father and was going to the Father. So there in verse 4, it says, Jesus rose from the table, laid aside His garments, took a towel, and girded Himself. Here verse 4 indicates the condescension of Christ to His disciples. Here in this act of humility, Jesus lays aside His garments. In those days they would have worn loose garments, so He laid them aside so that He might bend down and wash their feet, and girded Himself, wrapped Himself with the towel. Here as Jesus shows His condescension to us, He shows that He, as our servant, came to lay down His life for us. Later, when Jesus goes to the cross and they see the depth of His love and His suffering and in His death, as He laid Himself down as our servant, we see a picture of that in the condescension of Christ to lay down His life in washing their feet. This is the most humiliating thing that one can do. Can you imagine someone washing your feet? Someone doing the most lowly act? And yet Jesus not only demonstrates His love, but He shows His humility. He, as our servant, demonstrates His love. As He shows His humility before the disciples, He lays down several lessons for us in this passage, particularly in His exchange with Simon Peter. Because when the Lord came to Simon Peter, Simon, in his humble estate, said, Lord, You're washing my feet? We often think that here Peter obviously is showing that he is humble, that he is broken before the Lord. But notice the response of Jesus in verse 7. What I am doing to you, you don't understand now, but you will know fully later. And so Peter became more indignant and said, Lord, You're not going to wash my feet. And Jesus said to him, if you do not let Me wash your feet, then you have no part with Me. There's often a tendency among disciples of Christ and followers of the Lord Jesus Christ to display a sense of humility that is nothing more than pride and arrogance. Jesus dealt with this with the Pharisees and the scribes. They came across as religious teachers observing the law, and yet they were proud and arrogant. And Peter, in his false humility, shows his own pride and arrogance. Because here is the Master saying, "Peter, I'm going to wash your feet." "No, Lord, I should be washing your feet." That's the mindset of Peter. And yet his Lord is saying, "I must do this. If you are my disciple, you must be willing to submit to me." And in this act of humiliation, Jesus shows that he submits himself to us. But vice versa, we are called to submit to him and to one another. And so in this act of humiliation, Jesus encounters this arrogance and this pride in Peter, that the Lord was not going to wash his feet. And so when Jesus says to him, "If I do not wash you, you have no part with me." And then Simon Peter says, "Well, Lord, not only my feet, but also my hands and my head as well." And then Jesus indicates to him there in verse 10 that you don't need to be bathed completely, for you are already clean, though not all of you, indicating the uncleanness of that one, Judas Iscariot, who had betrayed him. And so Jesus, there washing their feet, begins to teach them about humility. What greater way for Jesus to demonstrate humility to us but to use an example? And that's what it is. It's not a command, it's not a sacrament, but it is an example to us of how we are to treat one another. But there's a third and an important thing as well, as we see Jesus demonstrating his servanthood. Not only does he show this by showing his love and showing his humility, but he also demonstrates servanthood by setting an example for us how we should walk as his disciples. There at the end of verse 12, Jesus asks that question, "Do you know what I've just done?" Really, the disciples at this point are still not clear who Jesus is. Oh, they know he's the Messiah, the Son of God, but it's not until later when Jesus dies and is raised to life that they fully understand. But he doesn't ask that question for information. We oftentimes will ask a question for information, but he's not asking for information. He's asking to see if they understand the essence of Christian humility. "Do you know what I've done to you? You call me teacher, you call me Lord, but if I am your Lord and your teacher or master and have washed your feet, you ought to wash one another's feet, for I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you." So verse 15 indicates that this is not something that is to be repeated, but it is an example to us of how we should demonstrate love and humility one to another. Jesus has demonstrated the most perfect example of humility, and he calls them to do the same, to wash the feet of the saints. And then Jesus said, "If you know these things, then blessed are you if you do them." This idea of humility and servanthood completely runs countercultural. politicians, people in every sphere of life, have no concept of what it is to demonstrate humility and servanthood. But Jesus, as it is shown there in Isaiah chapter 42 by the prophet, is called the servant, the elect one in whom God delights. And he describes there the role of the servant who would not cry out or raise his voice or cause his voice to be heard in the street, that he would not cast away those who are broken or discouraged. Here Isaiah, thousands of years before the Messiah came, gives a picture of the true servant of God who would come and show humility and show what it is to be a servant. Jesus is called our servant, and yet all who live in Christ, who are in union with Him, are servants as well. The one thing that is lacking in our culture, in politics, in education, in business, and sadly even in the church, is this idea of servanthood. We don't often think about the fact that our Lord, Jesus Christ, the King and Lord of the church, is our servant. And He comes to show His servanthood in the most humiliating act, as He offered Himself upon the cross. Oftentimes when we think of servanthood, or when we think of being a servant to someone, we think of something that comes from our culture that is really difficult to think about. But when you think about the horrors of slavery and what people in our own nation endured and what people endured in other countries, really this idea of slavery being a servant to someone else comes to mind, because Jesus in this act of humiliation shows that in His condescension, in His condescension, and in His willingness to give up Himself, He shows the greatest act of love, the greatest act of humility. And for the world, this makes no sense, because the world, those who are not Christ's disciples, are not in union with Him, so they have not experienced the essence of the gospel, which is experiencing the love and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. But here, as He lays down this example for us, He gives us the lesson that really, I think, is shown there in His conversation with Peter. If you are not willing to let the Lord wash your feet, then you're not His disciple. If you are not willing to be cleansed by Christ and in Him alone, you're not His disciple. And it really, I think, is a lesson we learn from here, that oftentimes, even in the church, there are those who go through the motions, who go through all the outwardness of being a Christian, but have never been cleansed by Christ. He says that all of you, not all of you are clean in verse 10, indicating that Judas Iscariot was not one of them. I think that's why Jesus dismisses him from the table there in verse 26, because he wanted no part with Christ. There are those who outwardly claim to be Christians, but they do not have the humility and the brokenness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus learned, as the writer of Hebrews says, Jesus learned obedience through the things He suffered. He learned humiliation. He learned what it is to be our servant and our master. There in Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. The Apostle Paul gives us that beautiful passage that we have often seen and read. There's some wonderful things there by way of application. When Paul says, "Therefore, if there is any consolation or comfort in Christ, if there's any comfort of love, if there's any fellowship of the Spirit, if there's any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself." Now, Paul begins this passage teaching about the humiliation and the exaltation of Christ, but he uses that teaching on the humiliation and exaltation of Christ to call us to live as servants and as brothers and sisters in Christ. Because in verse 12 he says, "As you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." He calls us to work out our salvation. Now wait a minute. I thought salvation is of grace. Indeed it is. But in that act of justification, Christ justified us once by His work, by His grace alone. But as we are now still in this process of sanctification, He calls us to emulate the life of what it is to be a servant. And He says this is what gives us consolation and comfort, is knowing that because we are united to Christ, we are called to love and to serve one another. And then he reminds us there in that great section there in Philippians 2, verse 6, when Jesus, who being God, did not consider it equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant and coming in the likeness of man. And Paul shows it there in verse 7 that Jesus emptied himself. Literally, he poured himself out as an offering for us. In that great work of sacrifice, Jesus shows that he is our master and we are his servants. And so the call to us is to follow our Lord in deeds of mercy, love, and humility. By learning what it is to wash one another's feet, in other words, to wash the feet of saints, to show and to demonstrate to one another that we are His disciples. Jesus says there, "I've given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than the one who sent him." Jesus shows that he and his disciples are servants one to another, and that we are called to show mercy and love to one another. The very heart of Christianity, I believe, is servanthood. The very heart of Christianity is measured in our humility one to another. Jesus tells them later that the world will know that you are my disciples by what? How you love one another. Jesus did not say the world will know that you're my disciples because of all of your great theology and doctrine. And even though that's important, it's out of our understanding of doctrine that flows our humility and our desire to show servanthood to each other. The one thing that the world can see through more quickly than anything else is hypocrisy. In fact, people at work will oftentimes remind you every Christian I know is a hypocrite. I know many hypocrites. But one thing that the world will recognize very quickly is when we who call ourselves disciples show our humility before the world. But Jesus is calling us to demonstrate humility and servanthood toward each other. And that's the essence of this passage here. Jesus says that if one is not broken, if one is not washed of his sins, then he is not a disciple of Christ. And if we have been washed of our sins, then he calls us to wash the feet of saints. Every year around what is called Holy Week by some, the Pope of Rome will often, on Thursday of that week, take a number of people and wash their feet and demonstrate what Jesus teaches here in John 13. Many churches will reenact foot washing services. But we can see the Pope do a foot washing service, or churches practice that, and it is nothing more than plain arrogance and pride. Because if one's heart is not broken before the Lord, if one's life is not cleansed by the blood of Jesus, it's only an empty ritual. It's only an empty act that means absolutely nothing. Jesus gives us an example, but he doesn't just tell us to follow an example blindly, but he calls us to let him wash us, to cleanse us of our sins, so that we might wash one another's feet. There in Ephesians chapter 5, Paul concludes that great epistle by calling us to be imitators of God as his children. And the one thing that he brings out there is that one of the ways we imitate God as his children is to walk in love as Christ has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. The picture that Paul offers us here is that when we love as Christ has loved us, as we give our lives in sacrifice for one another, it's like a sweet-smelling incense going before the very presence of God. And as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are called to offer up our incense, our fragrance, in the way of service and humility before one another. The one thing that grieves the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ and should grieve our heart is when we see churches fragmented, when we see congregations divided, when we see people at odds with one another, and perhaps all kinds of evil, even within congregations that wear the name of Christ. But if we're called to walk as servants and to wash one another's feet in the same way that Jesus washes ours, then that means our demeanor, our attitude, our conversation toward one another should emulate Christ's relationship to us. I have often said that the way we treat one another as Christians is the same measure by which we have received the grace of Christ. If we've received Christ's grace, if we've received His love, then we will show that to one another. But if we don't show that to one another, it's usually an indication that we've not experienced the love of Christ. The love of Christ for His people is so rich. One of the Puritan fathers who was influential in writing the Westminster Confession of Faith said that the love of Christ is like a cup that has no bottom. That the love of Christ overflows. That it's rich in mercy to all who know the Lord Jesus Christ. We as His servants are called because we are united with Him and with one another to practice these things, to show mercy and humility. The most practical way that we as disciples of Christ can show humility is in hospitality. Many churches I've been in, I've always been amazed at the hospitality that is shown. Jesus calls us to practice hospitality. He calls us to show love toward one another and to demonstrate that love in acts of mercy and kindness. So let me ask you the question that Jesus asked Peter. Do you understand why He did it? Do you understand the depth of Christ's love for you? He went to the cross for His elect, for all those He chose to save, to show His mercy and His grace to us. And in the same way that Jesus shows His grace and His mercy toward us, we are called to show that grace and mercy to one another. When we are not patient, when we are not forgiving, if someone has wronged us, it's so easy for us to become enraged. And yet if we're His disciples, we're called to forgive and to show patience and mercy one to another, for we are His children. Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? Has He cleansed you of your sins? Have you been washed by His blood? Have you, by faith, called upon Him and trusted in Him alone for your salvation? Do you come before the Lord daily for cleansing? I would urge you today that if you do not know Christ, speak to myself or one of the elders. The Scripture says that all who come to Him, He will never cast away. I would call us and implore us today to look at this passage and to see the implications of Christ's love and humility for us and how we are called to show mercy and grace to one another as disciples of Christ. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we come before Your presence this morning and give You thanks for the way that You have shown Your love and Your humility to us. We thank You that as our Master and our Savior, You have condescended to us, that you in your lowly estate have drawn us to yourself. Lord, we confess that at times we are like Peter. At times we may not have shown the humility that needs to be shown. And we ask, Lord Jesus, that you would cleanse us, that you would daily wash us, that we might learn to be imitators of God, that we would learn to walk in love, we would learn to walk in patience, and to show that we are your disciples. Lord, bless these words to our hearts. May we learn what it is to be a servant and to bless and encourage one another. We ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Lord. Amen.